Last week, we began this series called One Shot, Parenting with a Purpose, because we get one shot per child to get it right. That's it. There's no do-overs. You don't get a do-over. You get one shot per child to get this thing right. And I told you that Mandy and I have raised our children under conviction. First of all, our personal convictions. We have a desired outcome with our children, and we will not allow them to experience or see anything that we don't want them duplicating. And I think that's important for us as parents. We need to let that get into our minds. Whatever the desired outcome is for our children, they have to see that played out in our life. And so make sure that you're doing that. And we also taught our kids to have convictions. We taught them, you know, there are certain things that are worth fighting for. And so we want you to have those convictions in your life. Last week we talked about the subject BC, before children. And to lay the right foundation, we return back to the world before children. In Genesis chapter 2, before children, Adam and Eve were one flesh. They succeeded together, they failed together, they were one flesh. And parents should never allow their children to come between them and their spouse. There's a divine order of relationships in your home. It's God before anyone else, always. God before anyone else, spouse before kids, and kids before the world. That's the divine order for your household. And so many people get this backwards. Moms, I'm just going to be honest with you. You are the ones that get this backwards more than anybody else. Men, we will put things before God. But women, a lot of times you will put children before your husbands. And that is not the divine order of household. It's God before anyone else. It's spouse before kids and kids before the world. So never put your child before your spouse. Never put anything before God. Don't let your child, I told you this, and some of the looks on your faces were priceless. Don't let your child become, excuse me. See, I'm scared to say it right now. Don't let your child become the center of your universe. It's not. Your child is not the center of your universe, or at least it shouldn't be the center of your universe. Don't let your child control your schedule. I believe, and as I said last week, I believe in schedules, especially with us. We were raising twins. We had to have schedules, but we had never allowed that to stop us from doing the things that we wanted to do. Of course, there's some different responsibilities with that, with having a child. You can't live life the way you once did, but so many people, they just shut down once they have children, and they will not live life, and you've got to. A young boy was warned by his father that if he didn't stop his whining, that his dad was going to send him to bed. Unfortunately, the little boy didn't listen, as many of your kids don't listen, and so he had to go to bed early that night. And 5 minutes after he was sent to bed, all of a sudden you heard, "Dad, what, son?" He said, "I'm thirsty. Can you bring me some water?" The dad responded with, "No, you had your chance. Now lights out." So everything got quiet. About 5 minutes later, "Dad, what, son? I'm thirsty. Can I have a glass of water? I told you no, and if you ask again, I'm going to spank you." 5 minutes later, "Dad, what? When you come in here to spank me, can you bring me a glass of water?" For some of you, tonight is going to be extremely uncomfortable, and others, you're not going to be affected by it at all. And some of you, you're going to think that you've got this down and you think you have a handle on it, and you're oblivious to tonight's topic, and we can tell by the way that your children act. And so tonight, we are discussing discipline, and this is one of the touchiest subjects for parents. And so again, I want to remind you, you have permission to get up right now, walk out of this room. I'm not judging you because I know it's a touchy subject. But I also want to remind you that Mandy and I are teaching this class. We chose to put our lives on display to teach this. And we're not telling you you have to do it, okay? That's not it at all. We're not going to judge you if you don't. All that we know is how to raise Caleb and Kendall McKinley. That's it. That's all that we know. And we have tried our best to raise them according to God's word. And so that's what we're going to share with you. And that's how we are going to present this. But I promise you, as parents, we don't get it all right. And so I may tell you something tonight that may not be absolutely right. I'm just telling you it's what's worked for us. And that very obnoxious statement that I made last week, I'm going to make it again. But if you want what we have, you have to be willing to do what we've done. They don't clap for me like they clap for you. You had your chance to get up and leave, and you didn't. And so I want you to open up your hearts, open up your minds, and let's explore what God's word has to say about discipline. Before we do, I'm going to have Mandy come up and talk to you a little bit about the early days of discipline around our house.
I was raised in a home that spanking was an option. And so I didn't have to get many of those. I learned my lesson quickly. But I know as kids are younger, you know, when they're first born to 6 months old, there's a difference in the spankings that they would get at 4 or 5. But as soon as they were sitting up and were able to crawl or walk over to something in our home that they weren't supposed to touch, they began to know that that was not the right thing to do. Back in 1997, people collected angels, all the ceramic angels. I had a big bookcase over the TV and all these pretty little knickknacks, and I didn't put a thing of them up. Every time they would crawl over to one or try and touch one and think it was a toy, I would just pat their hand and I would explain to them why that's not something that they need to do. I remember one time they did grab one of our ornaments off of the tree, and we lived in a home with tile, and it dropped and it went all over the place. And I'd like to tell you that I handled that with a lot of grace, but I was a yeller because it was one of my favorite ornaments. And that was not the way to handle it in that moment, but it was out of frustration. But I quickly got control of myself, and we had a long explanation of why that was not what they needed to do. We spanked. We did. I was not abusive in any way. And we always had conversations with them before we would go anywhere about good behavior. Year, 2 years old, Rocky and I both would talk together on what was expected of them and tell them what was expected. So we never went into a place where they did not know what was expected of them. But as far as discipline and putting things away, I was not that type of mom. Rocky wasn't either. The only thing that we ever did get rid of was a coffee table because Caleb rolled and hit his head and Rocky chunked it out the door.
I remember this one time we were sitting in the church fellowship hall in Tampa, the church I was on staff at, and we were having this fellowship function, you know, kind of like a dinner on the ground type thing. And I remember we were sitting straight across the table from some other staff members. Let me say that, another family in our church that was on our staff. And they were notorious for their children kind of just running wild and crazy all the time. I mean, that was just it. To them, it probably the way that they were raised, it didn't really seem like a big deal to them. And so, but to Mandy and I, that's not the way that we were raising our children. And so when their children got up from the table, and again, this is a lot of adults in this room, and over on the side, their children was running around in the fellowship hall, running around and just causing all kinds of, you know, noise and ruckus and all this stuff. Our children wanted to get up, and so we looked at them and we said, "You can get up, but we want you to go sit over there by the wall, and you can stay right there, and you guys can, you know, just sit there and play and, you know, that kind of thing." I think they had a couple of books or something like that. And so our children, they got up, and they went over by the wall, and they sat down, and they stayed right there. And the other couple looked at us, and I remember them saying, "Let your kids live a little, you know." And I wanted to look back at them and say, "Let other people in this room live a little and put your kids in the corner where they belong." You know, that's what I wanted to say. I didn't. I didn't say it. I promise you I didn't. I probably would today, but I didn't do it then. I didn't do it then. But I remember how offended I felt that they looked at me and said that. You know, how dare them tell me how to raise my kids? My kids are so much better than their kids. You know, that's what I felt and that's what I thought. That's the last thing I want today. The last thing that I want is you walking out of this room going, how dare him? How dare them say what they said tonight? That's not what this is about. But I do think that it's important for us to explore God's Word and what God's Word has to say about discipline. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, spare the rod, spoil the child? Anybody? Okay, most everybody in this room? Regardless of what your grandmother told you right before she beat you, that phrase is not in the Bible. It's not. I know I just messed up some of your doctrine right here. I mean, some of you, your theology is so messed up because I just ruined it by saying that phrase is not in the Bible. The Bible does not say that if you refuse to spank your child, that your child will become a spoiled brat. It does not say that. I will interject that just because it's not in the Bible doesn't mean that it's not true. But I just want you to know, it just simply means this: spare the rod, spoil the child is not mentioned in the Bible. Actually, what the Bible does say is so much worse than what that statement is. It's a whole lot more severe than spare the rod, spoil the child. Because I want you to hear this so that you can understand what the Bible says. Now listen, I know I'm about to tick somebody off. Stay with me. Please stay with me. Proverbs 13 and 24. You knew I was going there. You knew this when this night started and you started answering questions about discipline and all that. You knew this verse was going to come up. But listen to it. Proverbs 13, 24. Whoever spares the rod hates their children. Don't get mad with me. I did not write this at all, okay? Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. That's what God's Word says. Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Stay with me. The Bible clearly states that those who do not discipline their children are not loving their children to their full potential. It's almost as if the Bible warns you that you are doing your child a disservice by not disciplining them. How many of you want to go beat your kids right now? Amen? Let's just go beat them. I mean, no. Listen, I have this little joke, and I've been saying this for years. If somebody's kid is crying or something, and I'm close to that family, I'll just say, beat him, beat her. You know, I'll say it all the time. And I'm just joking around most of the time. I'm just joking around. And so the great thing about teaching this class right here is now if you hear me say that around you about your kid, you'll think, man, the pastor thinks we're close. And, you know, and so it's all good, right? It's all good. Beat them. That's what I would do. How many times have I heard parents give up on disciplining their children? Some of you, you're in that place right now. You have given up on disciplining your children. I can't control them. I've heard that so many times. I don't know what to do with them anymore. I can't take it. I'll just let dad deal with it. You know, one of the worst statements that you can make to your children is, wait till your dad gets home. That's what Mandy hates that statement. When moms require dad to be the disciplinarian in the family, that's one of her pet peeves, man. She can't deal with that. Because the mom and the dad are called to be disciplinarians in the family, not just one or the other, both. And listen to me, you will create unhealthy relationships with your child if one parent does all of the discipline. If one parent handles all the discipline, I promise you, on both sides, with the mom and the dad, you're going to create unhealthy relationships. Whether you like it or not, children will learn to play you. Your children are learning to play you. I know, your sweet little innocent baby right now that you like to put baby lotion on, you know, make it smell real pretty and all that kind of stuff. One day, that sweet little baby is going to learn to play you. My children have learned to play me, or at least tried to play me in the past. Sometimes they have succeeded, many times they have failed. If they know that they can get away with it with one parent, they will work one parent against the other. And the worst thing you can do in your home is create this good cop, bad cop scenario. Don't be those parents. Listen, inform your kids of the rules. Tell them the rules. Let them know what you expect out of them. Inform them of the rules. And don't allow your rules to be negotiated. Listen, I have laid down the law before, and it was wrong. It was absolutely wrong. I didn't get it right. I was way too harsh. The punishment didn't fit the crime, but I laid the law down. But because I said it, I could not go back on it, and I had to go through with that punishment. And I don't regret that at all. I regret laying the law down too heavy. I regret that. But after it's laid down, there was no negotiating out of that. I had to, you know, take the Xbox away for 2 weeks, you know, because you looked at me wrong. You know, that's, I mean, yeah, the punishment didn't fit the crime, but it's something that had to happen. And so don't negotiate with your kids. They are kids. They don't know better. That's your job, parents. You are supposed to know better. You're supposed to know what's best for them. And don't cater to behavioral problems. One of the worst things you can do is cater to behavioral problems. Many parents will allow their children to act out in all kinds of ways. And listen, I understand that there are different behavioral issues. I get that. But listen to what I'm about to tell you. Don't let them act out and then pour on the attention after the child has created difficulties in the home. After they've created difficulties in the classroom. Children will figure out that this is the easiest way to get attention, and you just can't cater to that. Remember, what is celebrated is duplicated in every aspect of life. I don't care if you're leading a church or if you are managing a fast food restaurant. What's celebrated is duplicated, and babying a poor attitude is a method of celebrating. And if you show that attention, it's going to be duplicated in your home. If your child wants to act out, let me tell you, go put them in a corner and then dare them to move. Just dare them to move. I mean, that sometimes your kids need to have some time out away from everybody else. And it's okay for them. It's okay for them to have to go to their room and sit by themselves for a little while without a TV and without, you know, some type of game in their hands, without a smartphone, you know, that kind of stuff. And let me say this to parents of newborns, young children, and potential moms and dads in the room. Please listen close to me as I tell you this. Discipline them now, and you will not have to as much when they are older. There are some parents in the room that if they had the microphone right now and they were to be honest with you, their children are at an age to where they have created this monster. They have created this animal. And it's going to be tough. They can, but they've got to break the mold of what they've created. And so I'm telling you, young parents in the room, discipline your children now, and you will not have to as much when they are older. Listen to Proverbs 22 and 6. And some of you, you've heard this your whole life, but I really want you to pay attention to these words. Listen close. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. As a father and as a mother, you are called to train your children. I know that my hair is a topic of discussion at some of your dinner tables. I have come to that conclusion. Somebody had to take the attention off Dale's hair, and so I just decided that I would be that guy, take one for the team. Listen, if my hair is a topic of discussion in your home, all I can say to you is get a life. The reality is that this type of cranium perfection, it takes a lot of work, and I'm not going to lie to you. It does. It takes a lot of work. It's not easily achieved. My hair naturally grows forward. My wife will tell you this, it does. My hair naturally grows forward. I mean straight forward. When I wake up in the mornings, with it being long on top, it is one of the scariest sights that you have ever seen in your life. What are you laughing at? I'm telling you, I'm telling you, it is just, my hair just grows forward. And so it naturally does not want to go back. And so in order for me to wear my hair slick back, I must use necessary means to make it happen, because it naturally wants to go forward. It really badly wants to go forward. And so barbers, some of you hairstylists in the room, you know that in order for you to change your hairstyle, you must train your hair, right? Anybody ever heard that? You've got to train the hair. And so if I want my hair to naturally go backwards, then I must use hair gel to train it to do what I want to do. Now, here's the thing. I've been wearing hair gel in my hair for decades, okay? This is not anything new. I haven't been wearing this much gel for decades. But in order for me to get my hair to do what I want it to do, I have to use that necessary mean to make my hair go backwards if I want to train it to go backwards. Also, the longer that it gets, it adds more weight, and the weight helps hold it back. And so I've noticed that as my hair has gotten longer, it's gotten easier over time. And I'll tell you all that for this reason right here. Discipline is like hair gel. It is. Discipline is like hair gel. It is necessary to train. Train up a child. It is necessary. Discipline is necessary to change the natural flow of that child, to change, to go against the grain. It is necessary. You cannot, your children cannot be trained without discipline. I promise you, your children need to feel the weight of the consequences of their actions, both good and bad. They have to be able to feel that. And so many parents today, they don't want to put that weight on their children, but your children are designed for that reason. I mean, they need to feel that. Training your children is not easy. Amen? No, some of you are just... I said training your children is not easy. Amen? Amen? If that was the case, my children would be eating a lot better today. But they still... We've been trying for decades and they still... Well, you know, decade and 8 years. But the Bible says we are to train up a child. Not just train them, but to train up a child. We are called to prepare them. But you have to ask yourself, what are we preparing them for? Are we preparing them just to be good members of society? Yes, we are. We're preparing them to be good members of society. Are we preparing them to respect authority? Hopefully that's what you're doing. I hope you're, you know, preparing them for that, training them for that. Are we training them to be well-mannered? Some of us in the room, most of us in the room, we're training our kids to be well-mannered, and so that's part of it. But what if I told you that the main reason why God wants you to train up your child is so that you, that they will realize what a healthy relationship with their Savior looks like? Some of you didn't get that. What if I told you that the main reason that you are to train up a child in the way that he or she should go, that the reason you have to use discipline in their lives is so that they will recognize what a healthy relationship with their Savior looks like? And I'm going to show you this right now. Hebrews chapter 12. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to start reading at verse 5. And I want you to listen close to these scriptures here. We're going to read verses 5 through 11. 5 through 11. And the writer says, "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons?" And then he quotes from the book of Proverbs, and he says, "My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Listen to what the writer says. Discipline never seems pleasant in the moment. not for the person receiving it, and it probably shouldn't feel good to the person that's having to give it either. But he says, and he gives us this promise, later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. You're called to train them, to train up a child. You see, the Lord uses discipline to show us the error of our ways. He uses the possibility of punishment to reveal our sin to us. Think about it. Think about it. Scripture is very plain on this. Romans 6 and 23. For the wages of sin is death. There's the consequences of not doing what God wants you to do. There are consequences for it. The wages of sin is death. Listen to Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. And so right there, it tells us that there are consequences. That if you are not doing what you're supposed to do, that in your relationship with your heavenly Father, that there are consequences, that there is discipline that takes place. These verses explain to us that the wrong course of action leads to serious consequences in our lives. And when it comes to children, God uses parents to reveal the truth of our need for a Savior to their children. Don't miss this, parents. This is so important. When a child does not feel the consequence of his or her sin, he or she will not understand that sin requires punishment. That's God's word. Sin requires punishment. We know that through Jesus there's salvation, but that doesn't mean a hill of beans to someone who does not see their sin as consequential. If they don't see that there's consequences for their actions, then they have no need for a Savior at all. And there is nothing that is more important in your child's life than their relationship with God. Absolutely nothing. As a matter of fact, their relationship with you is not even as important as their relationship with God. There's nothing that's more important than that. Not football, not basketball. Not soccer, not baseball, not gymnastics, not cheerleading, not band, not even their education is as important as their relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Nothing else. All of that fails in comparison to what matters for eternity. But yet we will put more value and emphasis on those things when we need to be expressing to them that they need a relationship with their Savior, Jesus Christ. We must train our children to value their relationship with Christ. How do we accomplish this? How do we teach them that a relationship with Jesus Christ is important? Well, please listen to me. By showing them with our actions that our relationship as parents with Christ is priority in our lives. You can't consistently miss church for travel ball and expect your kids to have a healthy relationship with God. Jolynn, I saw something you posted this past week, and I'm going to use it. I did not ask for permission, but you put it out there for the world to see, and so therefore, it is now mine. It belongs to me. Out of 1,086,627 high school football players, only 70,147 will play NCAA football. I'm going to read that again because the numbers are so drastic. Out of 1,086,627 high school football players, only 70,147 will play NCAA football. Only 256 will be drafted to the NFL. Out of 1 million, over 1,086,000, only 256 of them will be drafted to the NFL. And so let me just go ahead and tick you off. What are the chances that your little Johnny is going to be one of those 256? There is less than a 0.5% chance that your high school baseball player will get drafted. Less than a 0.5% chance that a high school baseball player, not even talking Little League, high school. What are the chances that your child will stand before God one day? 100%. There's no way around it. There's no shortcut into heaven. There will be a day that your child will stand before God and give an account for his or her life. What's another way that we can prepare our children for a stronger and deeper relationship with Christ? Your response to life struggles expresses to your children the amount of faith that you actually have in that God. You don't realize sometimes the damage that you can do by just your responses to life struggles. If you fall apart every time that something goes wrong, your kid will never trust God with every detail of their life because you don't trust God with every detail of your life. And finally, another way to strengthen and show priority in your relationship with Christ is you must discipline your child. I don't know what that looks like for you in your home. I'm not here to tell you what that looks like. I'm just saying we are called as parents, as their authority, as their shepherds. We are called to discipline our children. Correction and discipline shows us that we are not above reproach and that we are accountable for our actions. Since salvation is the most important choice the child will ever make, it is imperative that parents are leading him or her to Christ, and discipline is so critical to this process. Listen to Proverbs 23 and 13, and I'm intentionally reading this out of the King James Version to begin with, because this is about as hard as it gets. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. The NIV says it like this. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish them with the rod, they will not die. But I like the way the New Living Translation says it. Don't fail to discipline your children. They won't die if you spank them. That's what it says. I was like, yes. I want to be very clear about this. Please listen to me. As you know by now, Mandy and I, we do believe in corporal punishment. I am not here to convince you to believe in it at all. You need to work that out in your own household. Mandy and I just take the Bible very literally. And let me say something to some of you that are really strong right-wing conservatives, okay? You expect everybody else on this planet to take the Bible extremely literal when it comes to hot topics that are out there right now. But yet you won't take the Bible literally when it comes to this particular topic. Though Mandy and I do believe in corporal punishment in our home, I want to be very clear that a child should never be bruised, injured, or cut by a physical correction. The Bible warns that parents should never abuse the power and authority that they have. Children are a gift from God. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full. They are a blessing into our lives. We should never abuse that blessing. Ephesians 6 and 4 says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." Colossians 3 and 21, "Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged." Physical discipline should always be done in love, never as a vent to the parent's frustration. I had to apologize one time to my son because out of frustration, I tore his butt up. Years ago, he was much younger. I'm not saying he did not need the spanking. He did not need it with my frame of mind the way I was at. Some of you need to get better at that. You need to get better at admitting when you're wrong and telling your kids, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Didn't handle it the best way." I'm telling you right now, physical discipline is always done in love, never as a vent to a parent's frustration. And I'm stressing this because some moron is going to go home and enjoy beating their child because you think that I said it's okay. Don't be that moron, okay? To discipline us, it breaks the heart of God. When God has to discipline his children, it breaks his heart. Why shouldn't it break our heart when we have to discipline our children? It should. With however you discipline, however you choose to discipline in your home, It should absolutely break your heart, but you know in your heart of hearts that it is for the good of that child, that you know that you are teaching them responsibility with their life. Rules without relationship will always lead to rebellion. Always. And if you have a relationship with your child, it's going to break your heart to discipline them. We always explain to our children how they disappointed us. We did. We just didn't spank them without them knowing why. They needed to know the reason for their punishment, and we made sure that they knew why they were being punished. Don't teach your kids about discipline without also teaching them about reward. This is so important. If you've turned me off because of the whole corporal punishment thing, listen to me right here. Please just tune me back in. Do not teach your kids about discipline without also teaching them about reward. Listen to the rest of those verses that I read earlier. I intentionally didn't read the whole verse, but now I want you to listen to the whole verse and listen to the heart of God. Listen, Romans 6 and 23. For the wages of sin is death, but... You say that's another reason for corporal punishment. But it's right there in the Bible, right? No. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You see, there's punishment, but there's also reward. There's discipline, but there's reward. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, they will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And so you see it. There's discipline, there's correction, but there is also reward. And like a good father, God assures us that through his word, that the opposite of discipline is reward and that it is available for us. And your children need to know that. They need to know that the opposite of discipline is reward. And that if they choose the right decisions in life, that there will be rewards for those decisions. As parents, we must teach them about sowing and reaping in every aspect of their lives. And it's hard. Listen to me. It's hard for some of you to teach sowing and reaping to your children because you don't believe in the principle of sowing and reaping. You don't. But yet, it is a principle that the kingdom of God thrives on. Listen, give and it shall be given. That's in God's word. That's the principle of sowing and reaping. If you want friends, the Bible says, be friendly. That is sowing and reaping. Good decisions equal rewards. Bad decisions equal discipline. That is sowing and reaping. Bad decisions will bring about discipline. Good decisions will bring about reward. And so it's important that as you teach your children about discipline, and you discipline your children when they don't get things right, it is as important for them to realize that when they do get things right, that there is reward for it, because that's the way that God operates in our lives. And so I'm going to have Mandy talk to you here just for a few moments.
We're big on rewarding good behavior, and sometimes that meant if they got a good report at church or at school that we went by that afternoon or that night and got a Happy Meal from McDonald's. Sometimes it wasn't right then and there that if we told them that they respected us all week, then by the end of the week we would have a family night and we would let them go and pick out a movie of their choice and we would watch it as a family together. Sometimes it was going to the Dollar Tree and letting them pick out a toy, but everything didn't have to cost money. But I put good behavior always before them. I gave them options and told them what was expected of them. I dotted my I's and crossed my T's. I was an over-explainer. I made sure that they couldn't use that. I didn't know, Mom. I made sure that I was a good explainer, and communicating with your kids and letting them know that there's consequences for your actions as well. If you are not going to have good behavior, this is what's going to happen if you're not good. And sometimes with having two kids, one was good and one was not. And I've heard some parents say, well, I couldn't let the other one not get it too. Well, you're not following through. Follow through is the biggest thing. I have seen so many parents promise, even me, I have promised something that I'm like, man, I wish I wouldn't have promised that. But I promised it, so I had to follow through it. There was one time that Kendall tricked me, and she was not a good eater, remember, and I promised her $100 if she would eat. And all of a sudden, she decided to eat, and I'm like, And Rocky's like, you got to give her what? I said, I don't have $100. And you know, to this day, she'll say, remember, Mom, you didn't follow through and didn't give me that $100. I'm like, I've given you plenty of money over the years. But they had to learn to see that the other child got rewarded when the other one did not sometimes. And that was hard as a parent, so hard. And I'm not going to tell you which one was better than the other at some times. One liked to talk more than the other. But I made sure that the other one didn't rub it in the other one's face. We learned respect, and we learned that we wanted to be happy for the other one, even though the other child was having to be disciplined and not rewarded. And they learned, the one that wasn't being rewarded learns very quickly that they want that reward. But I've also seen in some parents that they want to discipline, and in the heat of the moment, they will say something that they will later regret. Like, when I get you home, you're not going to get to play with any toys. Well, so that means that kid is going to drive you crazy when you get home because they have nothing else to do. And so they give in and they give them those toys. Well, that kid has learned my mom and dad's not going to follow through. And they'll just they repeat that behavior over and over again. You always follow through, even if it hurts. Follow through. And even if they're driving you crazy for hours until bedtime, just let them drive you crazy.
Thank God our children are almost 18. And we don't have to deal with your children who are going to drive you crazy. Even recently, the past 6 months, I had mentioned a few times to my son that I don't like coming home at the end of a day. You know, different meetings and things sometimes puts me a little bit later in the evening getting home. And if the trash can is out by the road and it's empty, I don't think I need to be the one that is tired and I have to wheel the trash can up, beside the garage and put it, back on the side of the house and all that. I don't feel like I need to be that person. So I mentioned it here, I mentioned it there, and mentioned it a few times more. And finally, one evening, I pulled up and the trash can's out by the road, and he had to intentionally swerve around the trash can to pull into the driveway. And so I got the trash can, I put it on the side of the house, I went inside and I said, I need your keys. He just thought I needed his truck for something. He hands me the keys, he goes on his way. Came time for him to go somewhere. I said, sorry. What? I said, you didn't put the trash can up like I've been asking you to do. Sorry. Next time you will, right? It was time for him to go to. I think it was school the next day. Is that what it was? And are you going to take my truck today, Dad? Are you taking my truck? No, I didn't take your truck away from you just so, I could drive it. In case you don't know, we're a three-car family with four drivers. And so it would have been very easy for me to do that. No, I let the truck sit in the driveway all day because that was the discipline. That's what had to be followed through. But we're also really good about rewarding our kids, man. Our kids, they make good grades. We constantly reward them for the grades that they make. We are constantly making sure that they realize that when you do something right, Mom and Dad want to reward you. We want to do something for you. And now that it's the senior year, we're realizing there's a lot of stuff to reward and there's a lot of expenses, so y'all pray for us. Children who respect authority and realize that there are consequences for their bad behavior are more likely to believe in a Savior that is able to forgive them of their wrongdoing. It's part of God's plan for parents. God entrusts them into our care for us to lead them in the paths of righteousness. We are called to be their shepherds, not their friends. And your kids will become what you train them to become. They will. They will become what you train them to become. And so if what you are doing right now isn't working, you may want to change your strategy. If what you're doing right now isn't working, you may want to reconsider the way that you're doing it. Proverbs 3, verses 11 through 13. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father the son in whom he delights. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. That's your goal, parents. Help them gain wisdom through discipline. Help them gain wisdom and help them gain understanding. Parents, do your child a favor. Discipline them. And watch as God develops them into the young men and young women that He's called them to be. And if for no other reason at all, do the rest of us a favor and discipline your kids. In closing, I want to say something profound that I know will encourage everybody in this room. No matter how bad your child is, at least you didn't raise Miley Cyrus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given us tonight to hear your word. God, I pray that it does not fall on deaf ears. And Lord, I certainly pray that no one has been offended. Lord, that's not the purpose of this. But Lord, I do know that throughout your word, we are reminded to discipline our children. I know, Lord, that you discipline those that you love. So Lord, help us. Help us. Let us know what direction to go with discipline. Help us, Lord, to make sure that we discipline enough, but not too much, and not too less. God, help us with that as parents. Parenting, Lord, as you know, is not an easy job, but it can be so rewarding. Lord, we are training up our children the way that they should go so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. Lord, help us with that. We want to lead our children to the cross. We want to lead our children into a stronger relationship with you. And so, God, help us. Convict our hearts, Lord. If there's things that we are not doing correctly, convict us of that. God, we want to hear your voice. We need to hear your voice when it comes to raising our children. And so, God, we continue to invite you in on this process. And we admit to you, Lord, we cannot do this correctly without you. But I know that all things are possible. I know that as long as we have Jesus Christ, Lord, that this is a possibility for our lives and for our children's lives. And so give us that wisdom, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.